Radio EcoShock.
If living things in the ocean are killed or damaged by rapid changes in ocean temperatures, we are all in big trouble. Ocean life provides oxygen that we breathe. The fisheries from there, they provide key food for billions of people. And amazing life in a billion forms in the sea, they have their own rights to keep living without our permission, our interference, or our needs. What will happen to fish as oceans heat up? Can we assume bad news? We have answers in a new paper. Long-term warming reduces fish biomass, but heat waves shift it. We reached out to the lead author, Dr. Shahar Chaikin, with a PhD in marine ecology. Shahar is currently a postdoctoral fellow with the Department of Biogeography and Global Change at the National Museum of Natural Sciences in Spain. From Madrid, Shahar Chaikin, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much for having me.
What got you interested in the future of fish in a warming world?
Well, that's a good question. I'm originally from Israel, which is in the east part of the Mediterranean Sea, which is can be considered as a global hotspot for climate change. So as I grew up, I've seen the sea that I really like getting warmer and warmer over time. And not only that it gets very warmer and a hotspot for climate change, it's also a big hotspot for biological invasion since the opening of the Suez Canal that connects the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. So this created a lot of change as I grew up under the sea. I've seen new species arriving, other species becoming less common. So being concerned about and interested about how climate change and global change in general is changing our ecosystems is fascinating me. And that is the main drive, I think, that curious me.
Back in 2003, marine ecologists like Boris Worm in Nova Scotia predicted rapid worldwide depletion of predatory fish communities. But the main concern then was industrial fishing, cleaning out the stocks, as happened to the East Coast cod fishery. Is it fair to say your new work doesn't really count overfishing or ocean acidification or pollution? You're just looking at changes in ocean heat?
So I wish to start by saying that, first of all, I don't downplay the effects of fisheries. Overfishing is a massive threat to the global marine biomass. It is true that our models focus specifically on the climate signal, the long-term warming and marine heat waves, and we did not isolate the impact of commercial fishing. However, we can be certain that the distinct patterns we found are not the result of fishing. So in our work, we found that fish populations located in the warm edge of their range are actually declining in biomass when a marine heat wave arrives. While on the other hand, cold edge populations, those in the cold edge of the range of the species, are actually increase when a marine heat wave arrives. So there are different responses. So if these massive swings in biomass that we observed were just from fisheries, we would have to assume that fishers are magically coordinating to overfish specifically during marine heat waves and only targeting the warm edges of species habitat while ignoring the cold edges. That's obviously, it makes no sense. So further, that this distinct cold edge winners and warm edge losers pattern that we see is a clear climate fingerprint. And on top of that, regions that are warming faster are actually showing greater biomass loss. And we're not the first study to connect warmer oceans with biomass declines. So because fishing inherently removes fish, the true declines that we see are likely even worse than our climate-only estimates. This is what I can say about the effects of fishing within this context.
So how much is the global ocean warming every decade, and is that rate itself changing?
So to answer that accurately, we really have to look at it in two steps, I believe. There's the global picture and the subset that we capture in our study that we report. So first, looking globally at the ocean surface, the rate is accelerating dramatically. A recent study in 2025 by Merchant and his colleagues showed that Over the last 40 years, the global sea surface warmed by an average of about 0.13 degrees Celsius per decade. However, because Earth's growing energy imbalance, that rate is essentially four times faster than several decades ago. It rose from 0.06 degrees per decade in the late 1980s to a staggering 0.27 degrees per decade over the last 5 years. So the global surface heating is indeed accelerating. Now, in our study, we focus specifically on the seabed across major northern hemisphere basins where we have biological data. So it's a subset of the northern hemisphere. We're talking about the North Atlantic, the Northeast Pacific, and the Mediterranean Sea, because that is the actual daily environment for those bottom-dwelling fish. So we focus on the seabed. And at the seabed level, we found that 93% of the areas we examined are experiencing decadal warming. The average rate was about 0.06 degrees Celsius per decade at the seabed. However, the ocean does not heat evenly, and we found some extreme regional hotspots warming at rates approaching 0.4 degrees per decade. And what our paper proves is that even these seemingly small fractions of degree at the bottom of the ocean translate to big losses in fish biomass.
I think that's amazing that not only is the sea surface temperature heating up rapidly, but the seabed itself is also getting hotter. How is that data collected? How do we know what's happening at the seabed?
Yeah, regarding the seabed, let me just do here a tiny correction. We're not talking about the temperature of the seabed. We're talking about the water temperature near the seabed. And in order to estimate that, we actually used available data from the Copernicus Marine Service that has a global ocean physics reanalysis model that are available to use. So what basically these models are doing, they're taking in situ observation, historical observation over decades. Using the supercomputers and models, they allow us to interpolate what will be the temperature in every place in the globe in a very fine resolution. So we're talking about today we can use resolution about 9 kilometers approximately. We use this data alongside the biological data to predict our fish biomass response to warming and to estimate the marine heat waves.
Would you tell us about warm edge and cold edge as studied in your paper?
Okay, so I think we can do here a small analogy. Let's imagine a species' entire distribution is like a multi-story house. The warm edge would be for individuals in the sun-baked attic. These will be fish populations near the equator side of the species range, near the tropics, the warm edge. On the other hand, the cold edge would be for populations in the cool basement. These will be fish populations usually the forward edge of their range. So when a heat wave arrives, you can assume that each population will be impacted differently. This is why we see diverging impacts of marine heat waves depending on the edge of the species range. Where a fish sits on that thermal position spectrum dictates how it will respond to a sudden heat wave.
Now, to be honest, I found your paper confusing at times. Of course, I'm not a scientist, but, for example, take this quote. Using population-level estimates modeled across extensive regions of the Northern Hemisphere, we found clear evidence that warmer years are associated with notable increases in fish biomass, while cooler years are linked to declines. Now, reading that, I would think, well, global warming is good for fish then, but that's not really what you're saying.
Yes, so this is one of the key points in our paper. So on average, we show that warmer years result in more biomass. But this effect, positive effect, depends on the thermal position of the population. In other words, this biomass spike in warmer years is driven by cold edge populations that gain in biomass. However, populations positioned in the warm edge of the range are actually losing their biomass. So, importantly, if you compare a year warmer by 2 degrees Celsius against a year that is colder by 2 degrees Celsius, you will find that cold edge populations gain about 50% more biomass in warmer years than a warm edge population will gain in a cold year. So there is some asymmetry here, meaning that in general, cold edge population capitalize better in a warming world than warm edge populations will capitalize in cold years.
And the numbers also show huge swings of fish populations as waters heat up or cool down. An increase of 176% is quite large, and a decline of 41% is big too. Is that swing of populations with temperature, is it natural, or could that also be climate-induced instability?
Well, based on our models, these patterns tightly follow seabed temperature. Thus, I can say that it is part of the impact of climate change is inflicting on our oceans. Yeah, so I would say it's indeed climate-induced instability.
In addition to relatively slow general warming, we see more extreme marine heat waves. According to a 2020 study, the infamous hot blob in the North Pacific, that was in 2015, 2016, it killed about 70% of Pacific cod in the Gulf of Alaska. Are marine heat waves always bad for fish, or could the hotter waters be good for some?
So according to our findings, we will say that it depends on what is your focal population. The blob marine heat wave that heated also the Gulf of Alaska is actually the perfect example of how devastating these events can be, but it only tells half of the story. So that 2020 study you mentioned found that 71% decline in Pacific cod was caused by a negative combination, the extreme heat that caused the cod metabolic demands to rise and simultaneously reducing their prey supply. The fish apparently starved. That is a scenario that can explain what may happen when a marine heat wave hits a population that is already near its thermal limit, what we call the warm edge of the species range. So to answer your question, no, marine heat waves are not universally bad in the short term. It entirely depends on where the fish are living. While populations at the warm edge collapse, populations located at the cold edge of their species range experience the opposite. So for them, a marine heat wave can create optimal temporary growth conditions, and we see their biomass actually boom by up to 176%. So marine heat waves can be good for some fish in the short term. But the warning from our paper is that we cannot let those localized cold edge increases trick us. Those gains are transient. In the long run, what we show is that the chronic warming of the ocean is predicted to impact most of the species, driving biomass down in large parts of the northern hemisphere. So even if we do get those biomass gains in the cold edge, we should be very careful and track them as they may be transient.
Here on the West Coast, people marvel when tropical fish show up in our normally cold waters. I know you have some new work out on this waiting for review, but are these exotic fish arriving due to marine heat waves, or is it due to chronic warming?
So this question actually touches on some exciting new work we have. We took advantage of one of the largest accidental anthropogenic experiments, which is the opening of the Suez Canal in 1869, a bit more than 150 years ago, where humans played God, and we reversed about 14 million years of geology. We connected the tropical Red Sea with the temperate Mediterranean. Without giving too much away, we are finding that while heat waves might cause temporary visits of alien species that expand their range, it is the slow, chronic, long-term warming that actually explains most of the variability in colonization probability. And so this rising baseline allows tropical fish to permanently colonize the historically colder waters. But yes, this work is still under review, and these are initial findings that I can share.
Why do fisheries decline over long-term warming? What are the mechanics of the slow death that might be expected with global warming, and do you think there could be possible tipping points ahead?
So first, I'd love to be transparent here. I'm an ecologist and not a physiologist. So our study was explicitly designed to measure the what, not necessarily the why, the mechanism. We quantified the empirical patterns of biomass change across numerous populations, but elucidating the precise mechanisms driving these diverging responses between short and long-term warming remains a key knowledge gap that warrants further investigation. However, we do suggest a few potential mechanisms that worth exploring and can explain this long-term decline. One of them is ocean stratification that may cause starvation. There's a sustained background warming drives those indirect effects. It intensifies ocean stratification, meaning that the warm surface layers and cooler deep layers stop mixing properly. It reduces the vertical nutrient mixing from the depth, which limits primary productivity. Consequently, it lowers food availability at the base of the food web and continuously limiting population growth and essentially starving the ecosystem bottom up. This could be one mechanism that warming may impact eventually fish biomass in the long run. Second, there's a temperature size rule. It's one explanation relates to how exotherms grow. In warmer waters, fish often experience increased growth rates initially, but they ultimately reach smaller adult body size. This could explain the initial increase in fish biomass during short-term warming due to faster individual growth. But over the long term, a population made up of smaller adults may also mean less total biomass. So this is one point that should be investigated more into depth, although there's a good evidence for that across the Mediterranean Sea. Another potential explanation could be prey predator disruptions. We have evidence that long-term climate changes can disrupt prey predator dynamics. Studies show that smaller species predation rates can increase in warmer temperatures, but decrease for bigger individuals. So when we combine physically smaller fish, less available food, and disrupted biological interactions, you get pervasive impact of climate. It could be different mechanisms that eventually converge.
And which is the bigger threat to rich ocean life? Is it long-term general ocean warming or extreme marine heat waves? Were you able to sort that out in this new work?
That was actually our goal, to disentangle long-term warming from short-term warming. This is, I think, where the novelty lays. We show that the overarching threat is the long-term warming. Marine heat waves have a local, context-dependent impact. They shift biomass around, creating localized winners and losers. But chronic long-term warming is apparently an inescapable threat. We found that both cold-edge and warm-edge populations are equally vulnerable to chronic warming. It slowly and persistently reduces the biomass.
Well, suppose one country finds a huge increase in a species that it wants to harvest and it sends out boats to get it, not knowing there has been a collapse of the same species closer, say, to the warm edge. Could this mixed reaction to warming lead to mistakes in controlling commercial fisheries?
Yes, this is one of our biggest warnings. If a country that occupies a cold edge of a particular commercial species sees a massive, let's say 150% boom in European sprat during a warm year, they might heavily increase their fishing quotas because they say, well, we're doing fine, there's a lot of fish, we can increase the quotas in this case. But if they don't realize that the species is simultaneously collapsing at its warm edge in a completely different region and declining globally due to chronic warming, they risk overexploiting this stock based on these transient gains.
Well, it sounds like we might need international management of the fisheries, as difficult as that might be. What does your paper tell us about prospects for fisheries management in coming years and decades?
I think that is exactly the danger. I was thinking about marine heat wave induced transient gains. If a country happens to be located at the cold edge of a species range, marine heat wave might cause its local fisheries to suddenly boom. They might look at those record catches and say, what climate crisis? Everything's fine, and increase their fishing quotas, right? But this is exactly why we urgently need international collaboration. Most fish species distributions span multiple countries. If we only manage fisheries on a national level, a country at the cold edge might exploit what are actually transient, temporary gains, completely ignoring that the overall biomass of that exact same species is collapsing next door at its warm edge. So if we don't manage the stock as a whole, we risk overexploiting these localized booms. to survive the coming decades, I believe fisheries management needs a bi-temporal management approach. First, we need agile, short-term, climate-ready plans. This means that cross-border agreements to implement temporary fishing closures in warm edge regions during extreme marine heat waves, while strictly monitoring the booms in the cold edges. Second, we must establish long-term strategies that don't rely on these temporary spikes, but actually prepare for the homogeneous decline of fish biomass that chronic warming is driving across the globe.
What are you working on next?
I'm incredibly excited about my next project because it tries to fix a major challenge in how we currently predict climate impacts on marine life. Right now, most of our predictions rely on oceanographic metrics, like defining a marine heat wave just because the temperature crosses a certain historical percentile across the baseline. But that assumes that all species respond the same way to a statistical anomaly and basically just assumes warmer is worse. So it lacks direct biological relevance. Survival is not just about how hot the water gets, it's also about how long the fish is exposed to that heat. So thermal stress is a cumulative process, not just a momentary event. So what I'm working on now is with colleagues is bridging up the gap between ocean physics and actual fish physiology. So we're combining ecologists and physiologists in this work. We're integrating fish surveys with daily temperature data, as we did, and laboratory-derived thermal tolerances that were measured different locations around the globe in different independent studies. Instead of just looking at traditional marine heat wave thresholds, we are trying to focus on the mortality probability. So we will add a macrophysiology component to our estimates, hopefully achieving more accurate responses of fishes to a warming world.
I'll be looking for your work going forward. From Spain, we've been speaking with marine ecologist Shahar Chaykin. He is the lead author of the new paper, Long-Term Warming Reduces Fish Biomass, But Heat Waves Shift It. That was published February 25th in Nature Ecology and Evolution. You can find links to follow up in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.org. Shahar, I look forward to your new work, and thanks for spending time with our listeners.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.